On Mondays, we focus on technology, and today we'll meet the co-founder of Apple.
The next time you turn on your laptop or fire up your iPod, you might want to consider thanking or maybe cursing this man. He's among the most important figures in the personal computer revolution, the co-founder of Apple Computer, along with Steve Jobs. He's the other Steve, Steve Wozniak, the engineer who came up with the idea of putting a monitor together with a computer keyboard. Wozniak has written his autobiography titled iWoz, From Computer Geek to Cult Icon. He joins us from our studios in New York. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, and thank you. I so often joke myself about the times that I'm so thankful for my computer and the other times I want to kill the people who made them.
Do you still consider yourself a geek?
I don't consider myself as much of a geek. I have to kind of represent the geeks.
In your book, you give almost equal weight to your accomplishments in life. Inventing the personal PC, starting the first dial-a-joke line, in the United States, and...
In the Bay Area, San Francisco regional Bay Area.
You prove my point. And being a phone hacker, using a blue box that you could make noises down the phone line and be able to get free lines.
Yes, I called all the way to the Pope saying that I was Henry Kissinger calling on behalf of President Nixon at the summit meeting in Moscow. And I got very close. I got up to the bishop who'd be the translator before he had checked it out with the real Henry Kissinger.
And you did a Henry Kissinger impersonation. Can you still do that?
Oh, I can still talk like that because I used it in my dial-a-joke for many years.
Tell me about meeting Steve Jobs and how Apple got started.
I had built a computer about 5 years before the little microprocessor revolution. They didn't exist yet. And while building it, the guy I was building it said, you should meet this other guy from our high school, Steve Jobs. What he has in common with you is he knows electronics and he likes to play pranks. So we sat down on the curb and we started sizing each other up. We had similar tastes in music, in life, in where we were going, thinking about a lot of right and wrong things. This was, during periods of time like the Vietnam War, and we looked at the early Bob Dylan songs, the folkish-type words, and thought that was a lot more important than just nice, fanciful Beatles music.
What's your relationship to Steve Jobs today? Are you friends?
We are friends. Now, we were best friends for quite a few years leading up to Apple. But, about the time Apple started, it was obvious we were different types of people. What he would do in a company was really learn to run it and be an executive and be everywhere at once. And I could do the engineering so well and design certain things so well. And I was needed in a different aspect of the company and the world. So we're friends. We never had an argument or anything like that. There's never been a Jobs versus Wozniak issue.
There are plenty of people who think so, one, because he didn't write a foreword to your book, and two, because you write in your book that he ripped you off on a program you wrote for that eventually became an Atari game.
He ripped me off maybe when we were younger. It could be that he was paid more than he told me. This is such a little diddly bit of the world.
But you put it in your book.
Yes, I didn't want to. I didn't want to when I had a co-author and she said, you should speak it anyway. And I speak the truth and it went in the book. We also, what were the other issues you brought up?
That he didn't write the foreword to your book.
Right. He didn't write the foreword to my book. And I was sort of disappointed because he would have been the best one to bring out the personalities that we had at the time, the characteristics. He politely declined. He didn't really give any negative reason.
You are a computer god to some people, and other people hate you for what you've done. We now have emails and bugs, computer crashes, lots of frustrations. Do you ever call tech support?
What frustrates me is very much what you're saying. The Apple II always worked. It never had one bug in the hardware or software. Almost unheard of to this day. We expect almost every technical product, every product in the world practically has a computer in it nowadays, and they all fail. If it doesn't work, you just sort of get used to it. Well, things don't always work, It's just like 50-50. You know what? There's a future, though. There's a potential that someday we keep a lot of our pictures and our data, like... photographs and music and videos, that we keep them out on servers on the internet like you keep your money in a bank. In that case, you don't have to manage anything. You don't have to update your software. You don't have to worry about hackers. You're immune. It's basically run for you.
You never have to work another day in your life. How do you spend your time?
First of all, money to me, I never started a company to make money. I really disdained having power and control and having to fire people and make decisions over their lives. So I went back to college and got my college degree using a fake name, Rocky Raccoon Clark, and I wanted to teach my whole life. I went back and I taught fifth graders, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth graders. It's not fair to say that, oh, I just took a life of luxury.
I wasn't suggesting that. All I wanted to know is how you're spending your time.
Right now, I'm spending my time looking for new technology things to do with a couple of friends from Apple. I'm driving to the South Pole, December of 2007, I hope, with Buzz Aldrin as my co-pilot. And I want to really inspire young people to admire technologists the way they admire movie stars and the sports figures in their schools. I believe very strongly in that.
Steve Wozniak is the author of iWoz, From Computer Geek to Cult Icon.